Okay, I think we can get started. Hi everyone, thanks for coming to today's session. My name's Eamon O'Reilly. I'm a lead program manager on the System Center Orchestrator team. And I focus basically on automation and automation related tasks inside of both System Center, Windows Server, as well as Azure. So for today's session, just to kind of level set everyone what we're going to cover, I'm going to start off by just kind of doing the landscape of where we are today. You know, what are our automation capabilities that we deliver in System Center? You know, what are the scenarios you should use those for? What are the common use cases that each one is used for, from a traditional data center management to managing the Windows Azure pack and more modern type clouds? I'm then going to switch over after we kind of get everyone up to speed on what we have today about where we're going over time with this automation and orchestrator in general. And so you'll see some of the investments we're making over the next year and how we're bringing a lot of the capabilities that exist in both of these solutions together. So we have a unified solution of automation, both for the data center as well as for clouds. So before I start, I might do a quick roll. Just how many are familiar with Orchestrator today? Great. That's awesome. So that'll really help. I won't spend as much time on the Orchestrator. How many are using service management automation that's in the Windows Azure pack? Good. Less, which is somewhat to be expected, is brand new. But it's good to see quite a few people interested. So I'll spend some time on that as well. And then I think a lot of people will be interested in how we're bringing these two things together as we go forward. Okay, so when we talk about automation, what we're really trying to focus on in System Center and in Azure is trying to enable everyone, customers, anyone who wants to actually do tasks, to actually automate all of their operational tasks. So our goal is really anything that you would do from an operational standpoint, if you're doing that manually today, you should be doing that automated as you go forward. And that could be from the smallest task all the way up to the large. And the goal, the reason behind this is, as you start to embrace this whole cloud idea of on-demand services of your, to your end users, you're not really going to get those cloud principles if you can't deliver the services when the users need them. And so that's the overall goal is if you automate everything, then you can achieve that on-demand delivery. So if somebody asks for a VM, a website, asks for a user to get onboarded, it doesn't matter what that process is that you're in charge of inside of your enterprise or inside of a service provider, you can actually do that in an automated way. And it's your policies, it's your processes that you're defining. But no matter what they are, they need to be automated. And so how we accomplish this automation is the first thing you have to do is do integration. And the reason this is important is, you know, every customer I've talked to, nobody is kind of a greenfield scenario where they're just going to deploy something brand new and they can automate it from scratch. You know, most of us have existing infrastructure, existing management systems, a lot of other things we've got to integrate in order to actually deliver this end-to-end processes. And this might go from the virtualization technology over to your networking, to your change management, to your help desk, to your monitoring solutions. All of these things are in place today, or you're actually in, you know, bringing new ones into your environment, and oftentimes they're not even from Microsoft. Some of them might be from Microsoft, some from partners, some from competitors. But no matter what they are, you still need to be able to talk and integrate into all of those services because that's how you're going to deliver the end-to-end automation process. And so we focus a lot of time on making sure you can integrate into those systems. And we do it today with integration packs in Orchestrator and with PowerShell modules in service management automation. So after you've done the integration, this basically means I can now talk to all the different systems you have in your data center. But you still need to be able to author and make sure you can define that end-to-end process. And so this is where the rich capabilities of Orchestrator and service management automation allows you to describe what that process is. So you're going to codify that process either graphically, doing the visual authoring inside of Orchestrator, or by leveraging PowerShell and actually doing PowerShell authoring inside of service management automation with the Windows Azure pack. But either way, all of that automation you're doing is going to be centralized and stored inside of one solution for automation. You know, the days of kind of having PowerShell scripts or batch scripts or other things on different locations and file servers, you know, you really have to get away from that because it's not going to allow you to deliver on-demand automation because those things just won't be robust. You know, if the server's down, what do you do then? If the password changes, how do you make sure all the password changes? All the challenges you have on delivering automation, you know, you have to be able to centralize not just all of the runbooks, but centralize the process as well. And of course, once you've done that and you've defined your end-to-end process, so all of your operational tasks are automated, you then need to make sure that that runs in a consistent way, is highly available, you know, is enterprise ready, so that you could run hundreds of thousands of these jobs, depending on what your end users and what you're doing inside your data center. And so that's what we really focus on, is delivering that rich solution that it can actually stand up to no matter what automation you want to put in there. Okay, so I'm going to start with Orchestrator, because that's the release that we shipped first that came out in System Center 2012, and just give you a little bit of the background on what's offered inside of Orchestrator and what we shipped inside of Orchestrator 2012 R2. So our main focus with Orchestrator and with Service Manager Automation was really trying to enable IT professionals to automate their end-to-end tasks. And these were IT professionals, but also operators that might have existed. These were the people who were making sure that all the automation was running successfully. So you might have somebody doing all the authoring, and then other people who might be just making sure it runs. And those were the two people that we targeted with Orchestrator. And their roles really were, if I'm the IT pro, I'm going to actually go and author these end-to-end processes. So we gave a graphical designer that's inside of Orchestrator that allows you to just drag and drop activities onto a canvas, so you can describe what the end-to-end process looks. But it's not just the description of it, it's actually the ability to run it as well. And this allows you to tie into all those different systems and run this in a single unified way. And we also gave the ability to extend Orchestrator through our SDK. This allowed you to write additional integration packs. So we ship a lot of integration packs to talk to different systems with Microsoft. But a lot of customers have other systems that we just don't support. And so we gave you the ability to easily write integration packs to talk to those systems. So we didn't want you to get blocked no matter what system or what process you needed to automate. And then from the operator standpoint, it was really about how do I make sure all of these runbooks are running healthily? How do I, you know, restart them if they failed? How could I tell if one is having a problem, if one is running slow? And so we have an operator experience through a console that allows you to see how the automation is doing across your entire data center. And then this talks a little bit about how we've distributed the work. So this is really about focusing on how this is made highly available. You can distribute all these different jobs across different runbook servers. So if one goes down, the next one will pick it up and make sure you have a really highly available solution. And the overall goal with Orchestrator was try to focus on data center automation. And when I say this, it's very much the traditional data center automation that we've been doing for years. And there was a lot of manual processes involved in that. And Orchestrator was really designed to try to remove a lot of those manual processes and make it easy. At least, if you hadn't changed the process, you could automate what the process was. So that allowed you at least to get value directly out of using Orchestrator in your traditional data center. So how we did that basically is we shipped a bunch of integration packs that allowed you to connect all of the System Center components together. So as you know, System Center is actually quite a big product with a lot of different components in there, from monitoring to hypervisor management, you know, configuration managers in there, service manager. All these capabilities allow you to kind of manage an entire data center. But oftentimes, you need to be able to talk and integrate all these different components in a unified way. And so we shipped these integration packs as part of Orchestrator so you could tie in all these systems together. But it wasn't just the Microsoft System Center integration packs. We also ship a whole list of integrations into other Microsoft products like Active Directory, but then again into other third-party systems like VMware integration pack or the IBM NetCool or some of the HP ones. And then obviously we had ones for Azure, we have an FTP one, SharePoint one, and the whole idea was to try to enable you, no matter what you had in your environment, to actually deliver that end-to-end automation. And there's a whole list of others that some customers are looking for and a lot have built, or we have partners who have built other ones. But this is what we're trying to kind of push with Orchestrator, was just allow you to talk to all the systems through integration packs. And then the third party ones are, these are ones that a lot of our OEMs and partners just deliver integration packs, not from Microsoft, but they support them, and it really allows you to integrate at the hardware level, through the storage level, the network level, all the way up to an application level, depending on which one you're working with. And so this kind of is the end-to-end ability to talk to everything in your system so you can actually orchestrate and automate that. Okay, I'm going to jump in just to give you a view into Orchestrator. I know most of you are familiar with it, so hopefully this will look somewhat familiar. If not, I'll run through it for people who aren't. Okay, so Orchestrator basically is this designer that allows you to store centrally all of your automation tasks you might have in the data center. And so you can basically create, you know, folders with all the different automation you might be doing. You can see I've created a bunch of just ones here myself, but just for this presentation, I created one called TechEd Europe. So I have a folder called TechEd Europe, and I have three different runbooks inside of here. And what these runbooks are doing, what you might see in a very traditional automation scenario, is you have a portal. So in this case, Service Manager, one of the components of System Center, has the ability to offer out a portal where people can request things. And one of the things that's common is request VM. So I need a VM because I'm working on some new application. Can you get it for me? And so that portal then will show up in Service Manager. And then you got to figure out, okay, what do I do? And so traditionally what you do is you would look at that thing, and then you might have to talk to some of the virtualization guys or the networking guys, and eventually, after a few days, get that virtual machine back out to your end user. But with Orchestrator, it really enables you to actually talk to all those different systems and do it in an automatic way. So the scenario you see here is we're actually just monitoring Service Manager, and when we see a request for a virtual machine come in that gets approved, we're then actually going to go trigger the rest of the end-to-end workflow through automation so that you don't have to actually do any more work. That virtual machine will automatically get deployed and made available to the end user. And so what we're doing here is we're actually just monitoring Service Manager. We're going to get the approval request. And then what you're going to see here is we're going to get a unique domain in Active Directory. And the reason I put this runbook in, so this is calling another runbook. And a typical scenario is a user might put in, well, I need this name of the machine. Like, you know, I need a finance machine, or I need an accounting machine, or some other machine they need, and they put a name on it, but it may be already taken inside of Active Directory. And so what we labeled you to do here is to actually figure out if it is enabled or if it is already taken and actually supply a different one so that all that automation takes place. They're not blocked, and then you have to go back and forth figuring out what machine it was. So it allows you to put some policy on what the machine should look like if it's already taken in Active Directory. And if I just go into this runbook, you can see all it does is it leverages the Active Directory integration pack. So I just get the computer, and then I write a little bit of PowerShell in this script that actually just sees if it's already taken, and if it is, I just actually add a number one to the end, or the next number. If one was already taken, I would add 2, 3, 4, etc. And then I return that machine name, that unique machine name, back to the parent runbook. So now I have a unique machine that I can actually deploy inside my data center. And so what you'll do after that is you'll actually want to go and provision the VM itself. And so here you can see another runbook called Provision VM, which is very simple. I've grayed out actually the second one just so that it runs faster. But what it is it's taking the machine name, and then it's integrated into Virtual Machine Manager. So you can see here System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager. I can actually create a VM for that user based on a template. And so all this is automated end-to-end, and I'll return the result back to the end user. And then what I do is I go back to Service Manager, and I update Service Manager with that request to say your virtual machine is ready to go, and they can actually start using it. And so the whole goal here is that you can actually talk to multiple systems, Active Directory, Service Manager, into Virtual Machine Manager, or any other system you might need in your environment. Maybe you have some other change management system. It allows you to kind of unify those end-to-end processes and describe them inside of Orchestrator in a very easy way. You can see there's only three runbooks here. But this, imagine every time a user requests a VM, if you got hundreds and hundreds, how much savings and how much efficiency you can get just doing that. Okay, let me jump back here for a second. Okay, so that's our Orchestrator solution, and it's really designed around enabling you to automate everything in your traditional data center. But the other feature we have inside of System Center Orchestrator is a feature called Service Management Automation. And we built this automation feature to really allow you to absorb in the Windows Azure pack into your environment and be able to integrate that into the rest of your systems. Because we know if you're going to, you know, onboard a brand new thing like the Windows Azure pack, you're going to have to tie it into all the different systems you have and automate those as well. So we built this from the ground up just deliberately just to support the cloud and Windows Azure pack as part of System Center. And how this looks when you think about the Windows Azure pack, what are we trying to accomplish? It's really the same thing, We're trying to bring all of those learnings we had in Azure around enabling the end users to get on-demand self-service and make those available to you on-premises without having to put everything into Azure. And so all of the learnings around, you know, customers just pulling in VMs or websites, whatever they need automatically, is what the Windows Azure Pack gives you. And then from the service administration side on the end, this is where you can actually tie all the different pieces together and so that the end user still gets that virtual machine, but allows you to put your own rules, your own policies, using the service management and particularly using the automation capabilities. So here's how it's laid out. For I think most of you are probably familiar with the Azure Pack, but if you're not, this is the one slide I have on it. But it at the top level is the Azure Pack, and this is where it's consistent with Windows Azure. So if you haven't seen it, you'll see, I'll show you in a second. But the look and feel is very consistent with what you would do if you're working inside of Microsoft Azure. But behind the scenes, this is where Microsoft System Center and Windows Server play the role of making sure that those end users, that experience, is actually managed in a unified way using Hyper-V, System Center, and all the other capabilities. And these are the different components that are useful in actually managing this end-to-end stack. The one I'm going to focus on today is the Orchestrator one. And the Orchestrator one is the one that really allows you to integrate it into your data center. Otherwise, you've just gotten a lot of, you know, really great capabilities, but if it doesn't tie into your systems, it's hard to deliver that out. Okay, so I'm going to just get people familiar with the service management automation and the Windows Azure Pack for a few minutes. And the goal really here is to kind of level set you into what we have today. So all of this stuff is shipped inside of Windows Server and System Center R2. And then it'll give you some framework as we go forward into our new investments. Okay, so hopefully everyone can see this. So this is the Windows Azure Pack. So as you can probably imagine, it looks very similar to Microsoft Azure, except you can see it's just running on my local machine. So there's nothing connected to Azure here. Everything is running in my own little environment that I have set up. And there's basically two portals. If you remember that picture from the last time, there's basically what the end user gets. And so I've changed the theme here just so you can see it's different from the Microsoft Azure. But that's about it. It looks very much like if you logged into Microsoft Azure, this is what you would get. And so the consumers of your IT data center will actually get this feel. And they can just go in, just like they would in Microsoft Azure, and say, I want to get a virtual machine, I want to get a SQL Server, I want to create a new virtual network. Anything that's in part of the Windows Azure Pack can be offered out to their end users, and they can just come in here and create them. And so that's really cool, because that's really what this IT, you know, service is about, giving on-demand services to your end users. But the real work to enable this kind of simple way for users to consume services is done through this admin portal. So the service management portal is this administration portal that you'll spend a lot of time as an IT professional making sure that everything behind the scenes is running healthy and is doing what you need inside of your own data center. And so those who aren't familiar, you know, you can configure websites here, the VM clouds, this is all the virtual machines and make those available. Service bus is available on premises. SQL Server, MySQL, I'll spend most of my time in automation. Plans, users, and user costs, these are basically allowing you to charge your end users if you need to. But these are things that you manage as a service admin to make sure that that end user gets everything they need on demand. So I'm going to jump into the automation because this is where you'll spend most of your time. There are some really good sessions on Windows Azure Pack if you're interested in each one of these and what they can do. I would encourage you to look up the Windows Azure Pack and do a deep dive on that all up, because today I'm going to mostly focus on automation and how you can extend automation or Windows Azure Pack with automation to offer more services. So this is the capability. So as you can see here, when you first go into automation, in a very similar way we have an orchestrator, we actually give you this dashboard view of everything that's going on inside of automation that's helping you to manage the Azure Pack. And so at the top level, you can see I have a bunch of jobs that are running that's doing work. And if I wanted to see what they are, I can see here I'm removing some old VMs. I'm adding a bunch of new users. You know, I've run these a few different times. And so jobs could just keep on running over and over. And you haven't done anything. It's just all automated as you need to. Of course, we offer runbooks. And this is basically where you define your processes. But these runbooks are a little different in that they're all built with PowerShell. So as you saw in Orchestrator, they all have a graphical authoring experience, which is really nice to drag and drop and define your end-to-end processes. Inside of the Azure pack, everything done is done through PowerShell. And we really did through PowerShell because PowerShell not only has a great workflow engine that we wanted to build on, but because PowerShell modules are even more prevalent in the ecosystem, like almost everybody's got PowerShell modules to connect to their systems, we wanted to natively support PowerShell modules inside of the new engine. And the nice thing about this is any Microsoft product ships with PowerShell modules. Most of our partners have PowerShell modules, and most of our competitors have PowerShell modules, because those are the way that IT can actually manage and integrate those systems. So all of those native PowerShell modules are available, and you can just import them directly into our service here. So this is where all of your runbooks are going to get stored. And then all of your assets, this is where we will store everything that you want to do related to runbooks. So the biggest thing this is used for normally is we're trying to not have to hard code anything as runbooks. Because once you start hard coding any data in there, it's like just like scripts. They're going to break, something's going to happen, and then what do you do after that goes wrong? And so what we do with these assets is allows you to store things, particularly things like credentials. You know, I think most of us have gone to the trouble of figuring out where do I store my credentials for all my scripts. So what we've done here is allows you to securely store those credentials into all those different systems in one place here that are encrypted into the back end. And then only as you need those credentials in your runbooks do you pull them out of the service and then use them, and then they go away again. So it really allows you to store all your credentials. But not just credentials, variables. So if you have like a location for a build server, or you have a location for some third-party system you're talking to, those can all be stored inside of the service and the assets, and then they're brought in at runtime inside of runbooks. So this is a kind of centralized platform for all of your assets, all of your runbooks as you go forward. So what I'm going to do is actually go into a runbook and just show you what it can do. But before I do that, what I'm going to do actually here is create a virtual machine. And the one thing that you'll notice here is I'm going to create a virtual machine just like I would in Azure as a regular end user, but I'm going to show you what happens behind the scene when I actually do that. So I'm going to pick Windows Server 2012. I'm going to put into the finance area. Give it a quick name. As you can see, this looks identical to what's up in Azure. But all of this is running on-premises in your data center or in a service provider's data center, if I can spell. I'm going to connect it to one of the networks made available to me. And there, so from the end user, I just needed a virtual machine because I was going to do some work on it. And all I had to do was go to a portal and just create one. And you'll see eventually this will actually start up and will show up inside the virtual machine. But what I'm going to show you now is actually what we're doing on the back end so that we can give out that machine automatically to the end user, but still do some additional work or additional rules on top of that machine. So inside of here, if you actually go to the dashboard, once that machine gets triggered, it's going to call a runbook called Apply VM Policy. And I'm going to find it so I can show you what it does. So what we've done with automation is we've hooked all the calls that you would make on virtual machines. So you can actually call automation when an end user performs an action. And in this case, it was create VM. So here's Apply VM Policy. And this is where you'll see that it actually is PowerShell. And specifically, it's PowerShell workflow. So those, how many people are familiar with PowerShell here? Great. It should almost be everyone. But I know a lot of people like the graphical authoring too. But all of this is, at the moment, is done through pure PowerShell. But it's only not that much. It's only a few lines of code. And what's happening here is this runbook will get called every time a virtual machine gets created. And it's just going to check. And once that machine gets created, it's actually going to go, if it's a finance machine, so if there's a specific rule saying if these are finance machines, then I actually want to go and put those under monitoring management. So you can imagine that for test machines, you don't really care how many test machines or what they do. But if you've got actual important machines that they're deploying, you need to keep those under management. And how you do that is you can actually attach runbooks. So when users create these things, you can actually say, okay, I'm going to back up this one because that one is an important one that needs to be backed up. I'm going to monitor it. I'm going to actually put it into my change management database so we can track changes to it. So all of these things you would normally do on the front end before you would actually create a VM. But if you want to do things on demand, you can still apply those policies. You're just applying them after the fact. But it still gives you all of that management capability that you would want to do inside a virtual machine. So in some ways, it's almost like a different way of thinking about how we would normally traditionally do policy and compliance on virtual machines or anything. Is you can kind of do it after the fact. You don't have to do everything before. And what this is doing, in a very similar you saw with Orchestrator, it's actually calling another runbook. So it's actually calling install the operations manager agent, and it's getting the machine name that was passed in as a parameter when the user created this new runbook. And so I can actually go over, and I'll quickly show you the install OM agent runbook. Just click on edit so you can see it. And what this is doing, if those are familiar with Operations Manager, is there's a whole set of ports that have to get opened in order for agents to talk back to Operations Manager server. So what this is going to do is actually go and configure all those ports on the virtual machine and then install the agent. So you can see I have a little runbook here that says configure firewall. It will actually pass in all those ports and configure the firewall. And then again, all we're doing is importing the Operations Manager module. So just import module Operations Manager. And it's going to install the Operations Manager agent. So if you're familiar, this is just a commandlet in PowerShell that allows you to install that agent into the machine. So all of this work is actually happening, and the end user doesn't really know anything about this. They just ask for the virtual machine because they need it. But you as an administrator allows you to apply all these different rules you might want to do inside your own organization. So a lot of times you may want to do nothing and just give them the virtual machine. But if you need to do something, you actually can do almost anything you need to do by just writing some PowerShell and leveraging all of the PowerShell modules that are available out there. And there's lots of samples up on the webs and the blogs on what customers are doing, additional capabilities with automation. And it gives you a feel for how you can talk to any system. Like here we're talking to Virtual Machine Manager, an Operations Manager, but we could talk into any system you have in your environment when people actually do actions. Like if someone deleted one, maybe there's a certain set of tasks you want to do when they delete something. All of that can actually be coded up in PowerShell inside of here, and then it reacts as your end users do tasks. Okay, I'm going to switch over. Hopefully that gives you a quick view. Again, I have a session on Thursday where I go deep into Orchestrator and I go deep into service management automation, but most of the session is about what we're doing going forward. So I don't want to go deep into each one of those, but if you're interested, come to the Thursday session and I go a lot deeper into both service management automation and Orchestrator. Okay, so what are the typical scenarios that you would do with the Windows Azure Pack? So again, in a lot of ways, it's very similar to the traditional data center, except what you want to do is kind of do it behind the scenes. So you still want to give that on-demand self-service, but a lot of the things you want to do around monitoring, remediation, those can still be done using service management automation and hooking into the different systems. So if you had Operations Manager managing that virtual machine and something went wrong, maybe you want to go and do some remediation. You know, maybe you're running out of disk space, you can add attach another disk. Or if you know, they're filling up their log files, maybe you can go and just clean up the log files. So all of these things can be done based on alerts that would happen in Operations Manager, and then you can go and take the appropriate action using runbooks. Another one is around the change control and provisioning. So as you know, with Service Manager, there's an ability to basically put change control in front of the user so that they can go in as a self-service user, just like we saw in Orchestrator, and they would request this VM. So if you wanted to do that, you could still hook up Service Manager and basically call through Orchestrator into the Windows Azure Pack and into Service Management Automation to fulfill that end-to-end process. If you know that's what you're doing in your organization, that's more traditional, then you can do that. And then obviously, a lot of the things you do around configuration, patch, backup, all these things that you would want to do on a traditional environment, you can do through Service Management Automation with the Windows Azure Pack. And so if you're using System Center Configuration Manager or you're using WSUS for patches, You can automate the orchestrated way. So if someone has like five virtual machines and you know that they have to be patched in a certain order, maybe there's a SQL server in there or there's a SQL cluster, you can actually automate the end-to-end patching of those machines and still ensure that the uptime is kept. So these are some of the kind of scenarios you can do because of the rich workflow engine that would be actually very difficult to do if you did manually, and it's actually very prone to error. So again, everything you could do manually, you should think about doing it in an automated way. Okay, so this is a slide I put together just to kind of level set people on, you know, depending on what you're doing, you may want to use Orchestrator or you may want to use Service Management Automation. And the simplest way to think about it is, if you're working with the Windows Azure Pack, then use Service Management Automation. It was built for that. It has all the hooks into actions that the tenant might take and allows you to integrate just like you would in any with Orchestrator into all the other systems involved in managing the Windows Azure Pack. The one thing about it, though, is everything is built in PowerShell, so you get all the power and flexibility of PowerShell and all the modules. But if you're doing traditional data center automation and not using the Windows Azure Pack, then I would use graphical authoring because it makes it very easy to connect in all these systems that you may not be that familiar with, but allows you to quickly talk to those systems and complete your end-to-end process. And that one, again, is based on a custom UI runbook engine that we have shipped as part of Orchestrator. And they both do process automation. I mean, that's the end goal, is that everything is done end-to-end with process automation. Okay, I'm going to spend the rest of the session now actually talking about how we're bringing all these automation capabilities forward and mostly talk about what's the Orchestrator roadmap over the next year. Okay, so how we're thinking about automation right now is our main focus is bringing all of the innovation that we're learning inside of the cloud and then delivering that back on premises just like we did with the Windows Azure Pack. So our approach is we're going to actually invest heavily in cloud and in cloud capabilities with automation, and then customers can use those for their traditional automation as well. So what's going to happen over the next year is you'll see a lot of innovation in the service management automation and in Azure automation, and then you'll be able to bring all of those capabilities into your data center and use them for your traditional automation as well, because a lot of the core concepts are there. Because this is what we have today. So we have Orchestrator for the data center, and we have Service Management Automation and Azure Automation, which I'll talk about, for actually the Azure Pack and for Microsoft Azure. But they have a lot of similar characteristics, as you probably saw. You know, we have a user interface. With Orchestrator, it's a rich 32-bit console application, but it has really nice graphical authoring, and it has some role-based access controls. And then if you go to Azure Automation, it has a web portal, but you know, it doesn't have some of the RBAC capabilities that Orchestrator has. But they're very similar in a lot of ways. And when you look about it, doesn't make a lot of sense why we can't bring these together so that you have the ability to actually bring your traditional data center and your cloud-based automation together in a single view, in a single combined runbook. So this is what we're working on as we go forward right now, is we're actually, you saw what Orchestrator looks like, you saw what Service Management Automation. We're actually bringing these two things together. And so all of the standard things around that user interface, around the authoring capabilities, around the runbook engine, the integration, all of those are actually going to come into one single solution for Orchestrator that we're working on over the next year. And I'm going to go kind of into each one of these and talk a little about how it's going to actually appear and some of the things you're going to get out of it. The one thing to call out, actually, I'll go into it later, is all that graphical authoring experience you have will show up in the portal. So, you know, a lot of customers really like that ability to visualize what the processes are. They're going to be able to do that, but then if you want to just use pure PowerShell for specific runbooks, you can also just use pure PowerShell. Okay, so what's the web portal we're working on? So this is basically what we're going to start building over the next several months, over the next year. But the one thing to think about all of this is we're actually going to deliver this inside of Microsoft Azure. So as you're probably familiar, maybe you haven't as part of the announcements today, we actually announced the general availability of Microsoft Azure. And I'm going to actually, automation, I'll give you a demo of that. And you'll see, you know, how similar that is to Service Management Automation, because we basically built it with the same technology. So all of the capabilities we're doing, we're going to make them available inside of Microsoft Azure. We're going to prove that they work really well there, and then we're going to bring them back so you can actually have them on premises as well. And that's a strategy we're going to do over the next year and several years, is prove out the innovation up there and then bring it back on premises. So you're going to have the exact same capabilities, but you'll have a centralized library for all your automation. You'll be able to manage all of your assets, PowerShell modules all in one place, all those settings, all the schedules, all of that will persist. Obviously, you can insert all these assets, call runbooks from other runbooks. You can test all of your runbooks inside of the portal experience. Everything will happen inside the portal. There won't be any rich console applications as we go forward. And you can obviously publish and edit. One of the nice things about service management automation today is you can have a published runbook that just stays running the whole time, and you can work on a draft version. So once you get it right and you're happy with it, then you can publish it, and then the new jobs will start using that one, and you can go back working on a test one again. So one of the big work items we're doing right now is the graphical authoring. So that really nice UI you saw to allow you to kind of visualize your end-to-end processes with Orchestrator, we want to bring all of the best learnings we had with that and make those available inside the portal experience as well. And so your ability to do graphical authoring will exist inside the portal. You can do PowerShell-based authoring or graphical, and you can have one call the other because we allow runbooks calling other runbooks. And similarly, with the data bus, I didn't go into a lot of details, but with Orchestrator, we had this really nice data bus. And what the data bus really allowed you to do is, at design time, you could actually subscribe to data from previous activities and basically stitch your entire processes together without really writing much code. And it all happened at design time. So if you said, okay, I want, you know, a list of the VMs, it would give you all the VMs and say, okay, I want to shut down all the ones that, you know, haven't been used in a certain period of time. And you would just literally pass the data and perform actions on the data. And we did that all with a technology called a data bus. And so that idea we're also going to bring forward and make available inside of the unified Orchestrator solution. So for managing runbooks and jobs, again, both these concepts exist in service management automation. We're just bringing the best of both of those together so that you can actually have a rich dashboard of what's happening inside your system. If a job goes wrong, you'll be able to quickly diagnose what the issue was, fix it, and get it back up running again. So all those capabilities are going to be unified and brought together. And we have a lot of good things we have in Orchestrator and a lot of good things in service management automation. And we're kind of bringing the best of both of those so you can quickly debug and isolate what's happening. So the next big thing we're working on is the consistent runbooks and assets and API. So what we're going to be able to do here is, as we're building everything into Azure, and it's going to be the exact same service in a consistent way that we're going to deliver on premises, that you'll be able to move your assets and your runbooks between these two services. So as you want to build everything out on premises, and maybe that's where you're more comfortable doing all of your end-to-end automation, if you decide over time that, no, it actually makes sense to move some of my workloads up into Azure, and some of those workloads might actually be the automation itself, you could actually export your runbooks out of the on-premises version, import them into Microsoft Azure Automation, as well as your assets, and they would work the same way. Because we're really building the service as a unified service that works both in Microsoft Azure and on-premises. And then the other thing you will see we're going to add more is role-based access control. So there is role-based access control today in Orchestrator, but it's not as rich as we would like. And so we're going to continue to add more and more capabilities, but we're going to add them through the new technology that we're building for Orchestrator. And again, just not the experience and the assets are portable between Microsoft Azure and your on-premises automation platform, but the way you interface into that. So if you want to build your own custom portals that would call into automation and call into our API that's available or call our PowerShell module to manage automation, that itself will also be able to be portable, and you could point it to Microsoft Azure Automation or point it onto your on-premise version with Orchestrator, and it would work in the exact same way. So this is really going to give you the power to, you know, that flexibility is I'll do all of my automation now, and then I might move some into Azure, or maybe I'll move it into Azure and I don't like it. I can move it back on-premises again. That's really something that's very hard to get if you do go with any other solution, and that's something we're really working hard to make sure it's right, so it gives you that flexibility as you go forward. The other thing you'll notice is we're going to invest a lot in the ecosystem and in the gallery in general. As you probably know, I do it myself, is that there's so much content out there on PowerShell and how to perform tasks in the data center. That you probably don't have to create anything new yourself. You just search the web or you search some of the like, Script Center, and someone's done a solution out there already for what you're probably looking for. That's how prevalent PowerShell is out there. So what we want to do is actually try to bring that ecosystem into the experience as you're authoring, and then allow for contributions by the community back into this gallery. And so you'll see we already did this in Microsoft Azure, which I'll show you. And so we have a gallery today based on Script Center that allows you to bring in these runbooks. But of course, you'll want this on premises as well, where maybe you're not just pointing up to Script Center, but you're pointing to your own location of all these runbooks that you might be using for your own needs. So the next big investment we're doing with Orchestrator is, we know people have been using Orchestrator since 2012, and they've invested a lot into actually automating most of their tasks in the data center. That's how powerful and popular it became. So what I'm trying to make sure is that all of those investments you've made in Orchestrator, they move forward as we kind of rev the technology of Orchestrator. As you can see, we're actually doing a lot of work, so it won't be 32-bit application. It's going to be 64 based on PowerShell workflow. It's going to be portal-based, so everything happens inside of there. But all of the work you've done to actually automate those, we want to bring those forward as well. And we're going to do that in three different ways. One is your existing integration packs. So if you spend a lot of time in integration packs, we'll actually convert those over into PowerShell modules for you. Because it's actually very much similar between a PowerShell module with a bunch of activities and an integration pack with a bunch of activities. So that's the first thing we're going to do, is allow you to convert your integration packs into modules and then import those into the updated Orchestrator system. The second thing we're going to do is allow you to move your runbooks forward. So you'll be able to export your runbooks out of Orchestrator and then import those into the updated Orchestrator technology. Again, things won't be identical because we are moving the engines. We're going to move towards PowerShell Workflow Engine away from the custom engine we've had in the past. That gives you 64-bit support and a lot of other things like checkpointing and resumability that PowerShell Workflow had that Orchestrator didn't have. But there'll be some fix-up of these runbooks after you move them forward. But the basic process and the basic ability to actually deliver them end-to-end should still be there. And then the last thing we're investing in is making sure that Service Manager, which I mentioned early on, can still talk to the updated technology stack. So we have the ability now for Service Manager and automation to work really close together so you can deliver these end-to-end processes. We want to make sure that as we move the technology, that we have a connector that can connect into the updated Orchestrator so you can continue all those end-to-end processes you've built over the last few years. So that's kind of like the main focus we have, as long with all the other investments that you saw over the last few slides. Okay, so the Orchestrator roadmap. So what you saw is that back in 2012, we actually delivered Orchestrator. That was that graphical authoring experience. And it allowed for heterogeneous support across your entire environment. Didn't matter what systems you were talking to, didn't matter if they were Linux-based, Windows-based, it had the ability to talk and integrate across all those systems and deliver automation. Then with 2012 R2, you know, we did an updated rev of that Orchestrator. We added more integration packs. We took a bunch of customer feedback and kind of just enhanced the overall solution. But at the same time, we delivered service management automation so that you could adopt the Windows Azure pack into your data center and integrate and automate all the tasks associated with that. And then today we announced the general availability of Microsoft Azure Automation. So what you'll see, I'm going to do a demo of it, but we've actually brought all of the things we delivered, service management automation, and made those available inside of Microsoft Azure. And then what you saw for vNext is what I showed you over the last few slides. And the main things we're working on is that consistent service that runs in Microsoft Azure and runs in your own data center, as well as bring over the graphical authoring capabilities, and then make sure that the migration works so that all your existing investments can be carried forward to the updated Orchestrator technology. Okay, so I'm going to just talk for a few minutes on Azure Automation. Has anyone tried out Azure Automation at all? Are anyone familiar with it? I see a few hands, which is good, but it is brand new. I would encourage you that if you're, you know, thinking about doing a lot of your work up in Azure, those same automation tasks you would actually want to do inside of Azure as well. So if you want to spin up a bunch of VMs, you want to create the networks, you want to do monitoring up there, deprovisioning, backup, change management, integration into other systems, everything you would traditionally do on your own data center, but now you want to start to do in Azure, you can really use Azure Automation to perform those same set of tasks. And again, it offers exactly what we offered in Service Management Automation. That's centralized assets, centralized runbooks, highly available engine, integration into other systems. Okay, I'm going to jump over and kind of show you Azure Automation because I saw most of you have not seen it before. And okay, so I think most of you have probably seen the portal. So this is the actual, you can see by the URL up here, this is the Microsoft Azure portal. And so this is where all those services, you saw some of them were available inside the Windows Azure Pack on premises. This is the full list that's available up inside of Microsoft Azure. And what you'll notice down here is we have the same automation space that we had inside the Windows Azure Pack. And you can see it looks almost identical to what we had that we shipped as part of System Center 2012 R2. So we have the dashboards, we have the runbooks, and we have the assets, and then we also have the ability for you to pay. So we give you 500 free minutes with Azure Automation, and then we basically have, for 500 minutes after that, it's a dollar, and so you move into standard if you want to do a lot of automation up in Microsoft Azure. But again, beyond that, it allows you to create different automation accounts in different regions. So we're in Europe now, so if you said, hey, I can only create my automation in Europe, then you could actually go inside of Europe and select West Europe and create your automation accounts there, and similarly if you're in Asia, and we'll add more over time. But what we're seeing is customers are doing a lot of things on Azure that you probably do on premises as well. And so just like I had a list of runbooks in there, you can see I have a list of runbooks inside of my gallery here. And just like I have assets where I create credentials, I could create them all inside of my asset store and use those to actually deliver end-to-end automation. But the one thing I mentioned earlier was the gallery investment. So here, if you go into automation, you can see we have a new gallery preview that we've actually just launched as part of the GA release. And what this allows you to do is actually some of that ecosystem I talked about, you can start to bring all of these different scripts and these different runbooks together so you can use them for your own end-to-end processes. And the reason I really wanted to show a lot of this Azure automation is you can see it's basically the same thing we've shipped on premises, but we're going to put all of our new features inside of Microsoft Azure first. We're going to vet them out, get them right there, and then we're going to deliver them back on premises so that you can actually use them in your own data center. So this is where you'll see a lot of those graphical authoring, all those capabilities. They will show up in this solution in Microsoft Azure Automation, and then over time, we'll just bring them back on premises. But again, a lot of these things you might want to do around provisioning, monitoring, remediation. Of course, all these are focused on Azure-type scenarios and integrating Azure services, but you can imagine a very similar way when you think about data center and maybe you're integrated into hardware vendors or you're doing similar type of integrations across change management. You can actually imagine those to also come down on premises and allow you to bring a rich gallery and make it available just to your own internal IT people, but maybe also to people who are consuming services from your IT department. You know, if I just picked one, I could just pick the standard Hello World. You'll see what it does. But it actually goes out into Script Center and pulls in that runbook. So again, it's just PowerShell right now, but there's a huge amount of scripts that are out there. And this one just is a simple one on how to get started. I could actually go, you know, create a new automation account or select the same one. This is already used. You can see a quick description of it. And I've just imported it into the system. I can go edit it. And then I can actually, because this one just says hello, I could go test it right here. So if I clicked on test, and all these capabilities are available in Service Management Automation as well, but you'll see more and more improvements come inside of here. And you've already seen some of those. Like with Service Management Automation, our scheduling was once a day. We actually added hourly scheduling into Microsoft Azure Automation, and then we would bring that capability back on premises. So I'll even show you what that looks like. But these things are about configuration. So you can log everything. So if you had verbose logging, or you actually wanted to do progress logging, this gives you that operator view. So if you go back to our dashboard before, you can actually see all of the runbooks I have in my own account that have been running over time. And I could drill into any of these to actually find out more information about it. So one of the things you'll probably notice is I actually have a runbook. Because I'm just using my MSDN account, I actually shut down all my machines every night because I don't use them for any reason. And then I start them up in the morning so I can actually get value back out of them. And I just put those on a schedule. And so that gives me the ability to actually kind of use the cloud for what it's for. And so I only use the resources when I need them. And then I shut them down when I don't need them. And that's just a simple thing I do because it's my own subscription. But you can imagine a bunch of other scenarios that you might want to do that is more automated across all the different services. And I could drill into one of these, like I could drill into my start VM computers. And I could actually go, you can see here, these are the ones that it found and it started back up again. So I have a demo machine one and a demo machine two, and it just starts those up every time. And if I wanted to debug these more, I could go into the history and actually see exactly what happened. So if something went wrong, I could go in here, drill into what caused the error, and find out what it was. And because everything is centralized, I mentioned that before, that we centralize everything into one store, you can actually see the specific runbook that was used to do this work. And the nice thing about this is it would actually, this is the runbook used for this job. If you changed it and then suddenly it started to fail, you could actually go back, look at the runbook that was working, and then extract that out and see what changes someone had made from a broken one to a working one. So that's some of the capabilities you get that is just in Microsoft Azure. Some of these aren't available on premises, and those are going to come on down over time. Okay, so I'm going to jump back out. Hopefully that gave you a view. It looks almost the same. If you didn't have the different colors, you might think you were using Service Management Automation and not Microsoft Automation. And that's deliberate. We want this consistent service between the both of them. Okay, so we have just a few minutes left, so I wanted to spend, just kind of give an overview of what we're doing and what the key takeaways are. So you saw there that we're actually heavily invested just out of System Center and Windows Server and Azure in enabling all of the automation to happen across your data center. So no matter if that is traditionally across your normal traditional data center, if you're using the Windows Azure Pack and all of the cloud platform system that came out and trying to automate all those tasks, or you're actually going to bring some of your resources into Microsoft Azure and leverage them there, or into a service provider, all of these capabilities around enabling them to talk to each other and deliver end-to-end automation is what we're focused on. And so our ultimate goal is that, you know, you will use it to perform all operational tasks. Because that's how you're going to get the cloud scale and the cloud efficiencies, is you remove all of the manual tasks involved. And what we're going to do is not just build on the PowerShell, which is a huge ecosystem, but also bring the graphical authoring experience that we know a lot of you like over into the experience. The other thing to think about is where how you're going to see this is we're going to deliver it up in Microsoft Azure Automation first, prove it out there, and then have it come back on premises as you need it. The one thing I didn't show, which I might touch on in the session on Thursday when I talk more about Orchestrator and SMA, is you can actually have these things talk to each other very easily as well. Because both of them ship PowerShell modules, you may have a bunch of existing processes you're using with Orchestrator to talk to all the systems, and then maybe the Windows Azure Pack, you're going to automate a lot of the Windows Azure Pack scenarios. But you don't have to like bring the runbooks over or copy them. You can actually have the two of them talk to each other. And the reason that's easy to do is they both ship with PowerShell modules. So you can actually install the PowerShell modules, have SMA call into Orchestrator, perform some tasks, and then Orchestrator, because you saw the PowerShell capability, it can actually call back into Service Management Automation and complete some more tasks. So with the solution you have today, you basically have coverage across your data center and your cloud. It's just you're kind of using two different systems. And what you won't have to do going forward is you'll have a unified system for all of those things as we bring the two technologies together. Okay, so with that, I'm going to give a few minutes for questions. I know there's a lot of content in there, but if people have questions, I will spend a few minutes and then we can ask them now. I'll try to answer them or come up afterwards. The one thing I wanted to call out is there's a lot of more in-depth sessions in each of these areas as you go forward. So if you wanted to know more about, you know, Azure Automation that's up and just got released today, We have a session on Thursday. That's the CTP B344. I definitely would think that would be a good session to go to if you're interested in Azure at all or interested in automation. The other one is the Service Manager Automation with R2. That's the one I have on Thursday as well. It's in the evening. And that goes deeper into Orchestrator and Service Management Automation and the Windows Azure Pack. And then there's a bunch of other ones. You can see here we go in-depth introduction to SMA, workloads, you know, tying it into the Microsoft Azure Resource Manager. There's a lot of sessions here on automation. It's probably a big theme throughout the whole conference. But hopefully I would encourage you to go to those. And if you have additional questions, we're also at the booth all week. And so you can find out more information about that. Okay, and there's some other links that you can go to find out about the Azure Pack, Microsoft Azure, the technical preview, and also please fill out the evaluation form because it's going to help us, you know, get that feedback, see if you like the direction we're going, if you like the presentation, and we're going to keep improving this over time. Okay, so with that, I'll stop here, let people go, and then I can take a few more questions after that. So thanks a lot, everyone. Okay, some questions?
Hello, you said you want to automate everything. Does that include System Center Configuration Manager, meaning clients? And will it scale to, like, in my case, 300,000 clients?
Yeah, so the question was, you know, automate everything. Does that apply to clients as well? And what's our relationship with System Center Configuration Manager? So we do have an orchestrator integration pack for SCCM. And obviously, we do have a PowerShell module that SCCM delivered that allows us to integrate in and perform tasks. So it definitely is part of the scenario of delivering client automation as well. So that is it. The second question was, well, does it scale? You know, for all of the scenarios you might do at SCCM where we might have 2 or 300,000 actions or clients going on. And what we've tested, it does scale very well. I didn't bring the architecture slide up here, but we have the ability to add more runbook servers as you need them to bring in more load. So we've tested ourselves, you know, a few hundred thousand a month of jobs running. And so it gives you some idea of where we can scale to. And so the question would be, you know, what are your own requirements? Is it in the hundreds of thousands? Is it more than that? But we do have a scale ability by adding more runbook workers. So we should be able to meet those needs as you go. No, so the question was, is it also true for Windows Azure Pack or just for Orchestrator? It's true for Windows Azure Pack as well. So we can do a service manager automation in Windows Azure Pack and meet those same type of numbers that you need to. And we have some performance blogs talking about how you can scale out the system as your number of jobs move up. And the reason we do that is because we only keep the jobs around for 30 days by default. And so we groom them. You can change that to make it longer, but by doing that, we keep it pretty efficient and allows you to actually do thousands of jobs. Another question? All right, perfect. Thanks, everyone. I'll stay around for a few more minutes if you want to come up and you can ask me directly as well.